please, in your pew Bibles. That would be on page 1166. The writer of Hebrews is writing to a group of Jewish believers that have been scattered and they're living under tremendous suffering and pressure. And the writer is trying to help them understand that they can't go back to Judaism, that they need to understand that Christ is the better way, always has been the better way. And in this passage, he compares Jesus Christ to the Old Testament sacrifices and helps them to understand that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. And beginning in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 11, if you'd follow along, when Christ came as high priest of good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is enforced only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every commandment of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves, together with water, scarlet wool, branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll and all the people. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant, which God has commanded you to keep." In the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Then if you drop down to chapter 10 and verse number 19, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching." God bless the great reading of his word today.
Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you today that your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And Lord, that it's an invisible kingdom, but it is more real than the things that we touch and see and hear. Lord, it is a spiritual kingdom. And God, we just thank you that you've invited us to be a part of that kingdom by offering us forgiveness from our sin at the cross of Jesus. And Lord, we do confess our sin, and we receive the cleansing that only the blood of Jesus can provide. And Lord, we thank you for this kingdom that's expanding around the world, and we're called to be a part of that kingdom work until Jesus comes back and we all get to go home. Lord, we just thank you for the team from our church that went to the Dominican Republic this past week, and Lord, they just returned home safely, and thank you, God, for the work that you accomplished through them. And Lord, I'm sure, and we look forward to hearing about the work that you accomplished in them as well. Lord, we thank you also for the Buckmans and the ministry that they've had among us. And we do bless them, Lord, as they move on to another ministry that you've called them to very soon. But Lord, this weekend, as they are working with the Marriage Encounter, Lord, a ministry to help marriages, we just pray for all those that are there, that you will be at work, Lord, in this relationship that is to be a representative of Christ's love for the church. Lord, we thank you that we can come with our needs, and Lord, you know all the needs represented here by every individual, every home that's represented among us today. Lord, financial needs, emotional needs, relational needs, health needs. God, meet them, and thank you that you are our strength, and that there is peace when we just run to you, God, with our need. We just want to pray especially for Bill Cousins and for his healing, Lord, this battle that he has had this past week. Lord, we think of our world and things going on in our world and the need for your help. Lord, we think of Flight 370 and that missing airplane and all of the families that are wondering. Lord, we pray that mystery could be solved soon, and those that are grieving and wondering can know what's happened. Lord, we want to lift up the GARE ministry in Mongolia, and just thank you for the connection we have with our international workers there and such a great ministry. And help us, Lord, to just really bless them and to be able to contribute. As we're thinking of Japan, especially too this month, we just want to pray, Lord, for that country that's been described as a superpower without a moral compass, and how there's such disillusionment there, Lord, such spiritual emptiness, a nation in search of its soul. And Lord, for our missionaries, our international workers there in the church that's got so many challenges, Lord, a lot of cults that are competing with them for the souls of the people. God, raise up your church. Breathe life into your church. Do that in Japan. Do that here in Huntingdon. Do that across the globe. And we thank you, O God, that you are there, that whatever strengths or weaknesses your church may have, Lord, that you lack nothing, that your character, your faithfulness, your kingdom, Lord, is moving toward a goal that is eternal. And Lord, help us to just know our part in that and to be faithful to hearing your voice and following you in it all. And so to that end, Lord, speak to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, if you want to use the songbook, turn to page 513, stand together and join me. The blood of Jesus Christ is for all men, everywhere, in all time, but each one of us must make a decision about what we're going to do. This isn't so much a song as it is a series of questions that you and I, each one, need to answer today. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you
you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright? Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing, soul unclean, oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
You may be seated.
Some of you may be aware of some weird home remedies, you know? Some of you maybe had those passed down for generations, or read about something online. You know, just for example, did you know that that duct tape works to kill warts? And of course, if you have lots of warts, it can get a little weird, I suppose. Did you know that toothpaste can take the itch out of bug bites? I didn't know that. Did you know chocolate can work as a cough suppressant? Of course, chocolate's good for a lot of things, right? So, you know, there's a lot of things out there that have benefits, effects that we didn't know about, that maybe you weren't aware of, might not expect. Well, even better than duct tape getting rid of warts is what the blood of Jesus can do. It can do a lot of things, so much more than people realize, than even a lot of Christians realize. Again, Jesus laid down his life. He poured out his lifeblood for us. And so we ought to understand and appreciate what that really means, don't you think? And so that's why we started last week taking a look at this, and we'll continue today, taking a look at the power of the blood of Jesus, something that might sound medieval or barbaric to a world that doesn't know the good news that it really was the love of God who caused him to make this sacrifice for sinners like you and me. And if you remember last week, we took a look at the fact that there is life in the blood, and there is protection, spiritual protection in the blood of Jesus, and that there's also relationship with God in the blood of Jesus. So to fully appreciate the meaning of the cross and of this season that we're in the middle of that leads to the cross and to the empty tomb, we're going to take more of a look at what the Bible says that the blood of Jesus provides. So today, three things the blood of Jesus provides. Number one is cleansing. The blood provides cleansing. You know, Nancy and I got married on our wedding day. Nancy decided to help my grandmother by pinning her corsage on my grandmother's dress. Well, Nancy accidentally stuck her finger with that pin, and instantly a big drop of blood landed right on the front, the skirt of her wedding dress. Can you imagine, you know? I think the photographer was going to pass out. but her cousin
was really quick with a wet paper towel, and in a minute, you couldn't tell that it had even happened. I don't know if it was the right material that the dress was made of, or whether it was a miracle or what, but a lesson to all future brides, let somebody else pin the flowers on people, okay? But it was amazing because blood is one of those really bad stains to get out, right? excuse me, and on a white dress, of all things. I mean, you know, we think of blood normally as being this terrible stain that needs to be cleansed, not the thing that does the cleansing. But spiritually speaking, the blood of Jesus is the only thing that can cleanse us from the stain of sin. Hebrews, what Tim read for us, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Referring to that Old Testament sacrificial system, there was just a shadow of what was to come. It says, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. That's in that system. But how much more then will the blood of Jesus, the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we can serve the living God. Let me ask you this. You know, he talks about the blood cleansing our consciences. Do you have anything that you've done in the past that whenever you remember it, you kind of feel unclean? Some sin that though it was years ago, can still make you just wince at the thought of it. I mean, Satan loves to keep us feeling badly about ourselves, loves to remind us of our past failures and our sin. I mean, that's what he does best. One good piece of advice that I've heard is that when Satan reminds you of your past, you just remind him of his future, okay? That's you know, in the lake of fire. So, but people, God doesn't want you to live with a stained conscience, continuing to feel like scum for something that you've done in the past. Because when we feel like that, we don't feel like we can be close to God, right? It puts this barrier between us and him. We feel unlovable to him. And then worse, we kind of feel like we should avoid God and the things of God because we feel unworthy. Folks, if that's where you are today, to you, Jesus says, hey, I bled and died to set you free from that. To set you free from that condemnation. Let my blood wash your conscience. I'm not saying what you did wasn't bad. Maybe it was awful. But that's not the point anymore. Again, Jesus saying, my blood washed away that guilt. And so if you believe that, then your conscience can be clear. And you can hold your head high and walk with me in loving relationship. No condemnation. That's what God wants for us. That's what the blood can do, as nothing else can. Remember last week we talked about Moses, you know, ceremonially taking this blood of a lamb and sprinkling it on people and on objects that were used in temple worship or the tabernacle worship. And, you know, that just seems so messy. But again, it was a shadow of what was to come. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. It washes it away. Are you clear on that point? That your sins are indeed washed away. To go further with this connection with the Old Testament, you know, where the blood of sacrifices were offered for sin, look at, I'm going to highlight chapter 10, verses 11 and 12 and 18. It says this, it says, day after day, the priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest, Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And jumping to verse 18, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. The point of all of that is saying this, once and for all, Jesus died once and for all to wash away our sins. We need to really process that rather than rehashing our sins and our failures over and over again. In our minds. When you find yourself doing that, in that rut of, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe, you know. No, just instead, take your mind to the track of that once and for all sacrifice that washes away the guilt of that and let it go. James Garfield was a lay preacher and the principal of his denominational college. They say he was ambidextrous and could simultaneously, imagine this, write Greek with one hand and Latin with the other hand at the same time. Can you imagine that? Well, in 1880, he was elected president of the United States. But after only 6 months in office, he was shot in the back with a revolver. He never lost consciousness. And at the hospital, the doctor probed the wound with his little finger to find the bullet, see if he could get to that. But he couldn't. And so he tried this silver-tipped probe to get to that bullet. Still couldn't find it. Well, they took him back to Washington, D.C., and despite the summer heat, they tried to keep him comfortable. He grew weak. Teams of doctors, you know, tried to get at that bullet and probing the wound over and over again. In desperation, they asked the inventor, Alexander Graham Bell, who was working on this newfangled thing called the telephone. But they asked him, is there some way that with your inventions that you could locate that bullet and get it out of him? Well, the president hung on through July, through August, but in September he finally died. And he didn't die from having a bullet in him, wasn't from the wound, but from infection, because the repeated probing, which the doctors thought would help him, that's exactly what killed him. Kind of like people who dwell too long on their sin, and they keep probing the guilt and the shame and how terrible they feel about it, and they never release it to God, letting the blood cleanse it. They think that obsessing over it over and over is the thing to do. But that's the very thing that will destroy you. Let the blood cleanse your conscience, cleanse your heart, and let it go. The blood of Jesus provides that cleansing. Secondly, it provides access. It provides access to God. Look at chapter 9, verse 7. It says, "But only the high priest entered the inner room, and that only once a year, and never without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins that the people had committed in ignorance." Here's the picture in tabernacle worship and then later in the temple where God's presence dwelt. Depending on who you were, you know, if you're Gentile, you couldn't get anywhere near the temple. You were in the outside. And then if you were just a regular Jewish person, you could come in the courts, the courtyard. If you were a priest, you could go into the holy place. But only one day a year, the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. One day a year, excuse me. One day a year, one person, the high priest, was allowed to go in there. No one could go into the Holy of Holies, where that Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence dwelt, for fear of being struck dead. And between that room and everything else was this huge, thick curtain that separated that room from everything else. Again, no one could go directly into God's presence. That was the message. And again, except one day a year, one person could go in there, and only with blood. And we also know that a rope was tied to his ankle so that if he did do something wrong and offended God and was struck dead for it, they could drag his body out without someone having to go in after him and have them struck dead too, because they're not the high priest and they shouldn't be in there. So all of this was to give the message that, hey, God isn't some small, weak deity. He isn't just your buddy. God is holy, and you aren't. So don't mess with him. It was an important message that God was giving for people to remember. But, so, access to this holy God was very, very, very limited. Now, with that in mind, jump forward in time and picture this. Jesus hanging on the cross, his blood draining to the ground. And when he breathed his last breath across the city of Jerusalem, that curtain in the temple that kept everybody separated from God's presence, that curtain at the moment of his death tore in two, ripped in two from top to bottom, the Gospels tell us. And it stood there open wide for all to see, for all to enter the very throne room of God. Folks, That was big, and that was not just coincidence. God was giving a very important message. The blood of Jesus means access to God. By the blood of Jesus, we can go into his very presence. Again, chapter 10, verses 19 and 22 says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus," verse 22, "let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." Saying, because Jesus poured out his blood, we can be cleansed and we can go into the very holy of holies. We have been given access. I don't know about you, but I can always find reasons to not bother someone, to not go into their presence. You know, oh, well, they're busy. I don't want to be a pest. I don't want them to think I'm being pushy, or any other number of other perfectly logical excuses I could come up with. But do you have reasons that come to you to not go into God's presence? He's got more important things to do than to bother with me. Or all you can see is your unworthiness. Of course you're unworthy, but God is gracious. Of course God has more important things to do, but God can do it all. And he wants to be in for you to be in his presence. There's this great photo that I want to show you, share with you. This is part of why people liked President John F. Kennedy. In the office, the Oval Office of the most powerful man in the world, where decisions were made that affected the fate of nations, this important man didn't tell his kids to stay away. He was too busy. No, they had full access. They often would come in when he was meeting with important people and climb up onto his lap. Folks, that is a picture of the access we have with Almighty God. Yeah, God's got important things to do, but he also has time for you. Because of the blood of Jesus, we have access. We are welcome to come into the very throne room of God himself. And he wants us to call him Abba, Daddy. Amazing, isn't it? But it's true. Don't snub this invitation. Come often. Come and spend time in his presence. That's what he really wants. The blood of Jesus means access. Third thing that the blood of Jesus means is victory. Victory. One of the things I find really difficult in life is watching people that I care about, many of them good and godly people, but they get beaten down by all the garbage that this world can throw at us, from health issues to some tragic losses to all kinds of things that we could never foresee, so many things that are taken away from us, and it's just not fair. It's not right. We lose enough things, and we start to feel like losers, right? Like cosmic losers. And the whole thing about a suffering Savior seems like such loser theology to some people. You know, they can't deal with the thought of someone who's supposed to be your king who subjected himself to humiliation like Jesus did. Folks, we can never forget the power of the blood doesn't end with humiliation and death. It ends in victory. Chapter 9, verse 28. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time. That time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. In other words, the first time Christ came, it was about sacrifice. It was offering himself for our sin. But he's coming again. And then when he comes a second time, it'll be about bringing salvation and all of the good things that that word means. It'll be the fulfillment, the victory to those who've been waiting and waiting and waiting. A great passage that I need to share with you in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11 says this, "And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, now have come the salvation." All right, again, connection with what we just read. Now this salvation has come, and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. "For the accuser of our brothers, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They didn't love their lives so much as to shrink from death." Folks, without getting into the end times context and all of that, the point is this. The accuser is what the name Satan means, Right? That's what his name means. He's an accuser. He's always telling us, remember, as I said, he's reminding us of our past and our failure. He's accusing us, telling us all the things we did wrong. Tells us what losers we are. But there will come a day when our accuser is done, beaten, overcome by the real victors, you and me, the children of God. Well, how do we overcome such a powerful being? And it's not just victory then, but we can have victory now in the same way. And it's the key is verse 11, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Do you get that? This is a hugely significant verse because Satan himself, I mean, think of it, once the highest of the angels, think of what a powerful and glorious being he was. But as with many human beings after him, pride was his downfall, and so he became God's greatest enemy, a serious force to be reckoned with, and having an army of demons at his command. And he works hard, as the scripture says, to steal and kill and destroy. So God's children live in defeat and misery. But, folks, we overcome. We overcome even this great evil being. How? Again, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. In other words, the blood of the sacrificial Lamb, the once and for all sacrifice, Jesus, that power trumps all that Satan could throw at us. He would have every right to destroy us, except, oh yeah, Jesus paid the ransom for our sin. We win, Satan loses. And it says, by the word of their testimony. You know, other places in Scripture affirm the power of us verbalizing God's truth. And here it's our testimony. When we say, hey, Jesus died for me, and I've received him into my heart, into my life, and he's my Savior and my Lord. His grace is sufficient for me, and there's nothing that can take me out of his hand. He has seen me through this far, and he'll see me through to the end. So Satan, you can't have me, you can't have my family, you can't have my church, so get your grubby fingers off. All right? That's the kind of thing that we can say as a testimony of truth that makes the father of lies have to slink off and go find somebody else to bother. Victory. God really wants that for all of us. So please don't live in defeat. The blood of Jesus has power to provide real victory for us. There's a guy named Steve Winger from Lubbock, Texas, who tells of his very last college exam. It was a final in logic class that was known for its killer exams. And he said that to help the students with the test, the professor said that they were allowed to bring with them as much information as they could fit on a single 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. So most students worked real hard, write real small, you know, and cram as much information as they could on that piece of paper. But one student walked into the class, and he put the piece of paper on the floor, and he had an advanced logic student come in, stand on that piece of paper. All right? So, you know, hey, that's as much information as he could fit on that piece of paper. And that advanced student told him everything he needed to know. And he's the only one who got an A in that class. So, if that ever works for any of you college students, you know, let me know. Folks, life is a test. And there's a killer of a final ahead. We don't have what it takes on our own, but there's one who does have what it takes, his own shed blood, to provide cleansing from sin, access to the Father, and victory over all the forces of hell itself. That's a pretty good deal, wouldn't you say? And he's a person who's willing to stand there for us where we need him. He's there. But it doesn't do you any good if you don't believe it. So the question is, do you? Do you? When you feel the stain of your sin, do you really believe the blood makes you clean? You know, don't groan and rehearse, oh, I'm such an idiot, oh, I can't believe I did that. No, marvel at Christ's love and the power of his blood to wash that away. When you're tempted to feel distance from God, do you really believe that the blood opens the way and gives us access. Remember that torn curtain, folks? That is the picture, once and for all, of the access we have to the throne room of God. And when it seems that Satan wins, do you believe that the blood of Jesus really does give us ultimate victory, no matter what it looks like right now? Believe it, people, because Jesus died to make it true. So bow your heads with me, please. And let's go to God in prayer. Ah, Lord Jesus, when I think about all that you died to bring us, and Lord, how in such a limited way we take advantage of what you offer us, in what limited lives we live, Lord, because either we just don't know or don't really, really believe all that your blood does for us and was offered to do for us. Lord, help us to believe it. And Lord, again, we know we're not worthy of it. That is not the point. It is your grace, that undeserved love, that makes it all possible. And so, Lord, you want these things for us. You want us to receive them. Lord, help us to process these truths, to believe them, to live them out in reality, a spiritual reality. And Lord, let us live in victory for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
The answer was yes to the first question of the first hymn. Join me in page 518. Let's stand together and sing our response to having the shed blood of Jesus Christ cleanse us from all sins. All right, page 518. I heard it all on story, how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins, won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing. Made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus,
my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. Plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen and amen. And may you see this week some powerful evidence of that victory purchased by the blood of Jesus, that victory in your life, in your world this week. God bless you.